Let me just start by saying welcome to all of you men, and I just want to congratulate you on being in God's house on your day. There's a lot of other places you men could have chosen to be today to congratulate yourself and celebrate yourself, but there's no better place than we can be than together here in God's presence. So let's give all of our men a hand clap this morning. Now, we were trying our best as you came in to make sure that you got one of these caps, but our usherettes, is that okay to call them that? Our usherettes are ready to serve you. Men, if you're a man in here and you didn't get one of these hats, raise your hand. Go ahead and raise them up high, and we're going to serve you. We've got one right over here, Miss Sarah, and then one right down here, Mr. Brett. I believe that's it. Ah, you guys, the gals did really good, didn't they? All right. Well, I've got just a few minutes this morning to talk to you because our service is going to end at 11:30. So you men and you, dads and granddads, you can go and celebrate and be with your families today. But we want to talk for just a few minutes about the fact that we are a work in progress. If every one of you men would take that hat out right quick and read what it says on the front of it. What it says on the front of it is this. It says, man of God. And that's supposed to be more than a theme on a hat. It's supposed to be the mark of God's man in his life. Can you say amen? And, you know, when we got these hats, I was a little bit hesitant to put this thing on my head because it states that I am a man of God. But how many of you guys know that the most important thing that we can be as men, the most important thing that we can be as men is to be a man of God? And listen, we can't be men of God without the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it in our flesh and out of our own works. And none of us feel worthy to be called a man of God. But God has called us to be men of God. It's the most important thing in all of our lives while we're here on this planet. Because all of our successes and all of our victories in life and all of the things that we ever accomplish that are going to have any eternal value will flow out of how successful we are at becoming what God placed us on this planet to be. And He placed us men on this planet to be a mirror image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Our greatest goal, our greatest pursuit, our greatest passion should not be what the world pursues and what the world is passionate about. Because the world is very good at telling us what a real man is like. The world will tell us. And this morning, we just want to have a quick, frank discussion about what the world has to say about our lives versus what the eternal creator of the universe has to say about our lives. And that we want to be the men that God created us to be. Because it's not about what we wear. And it's not about what we earn. And it's not about how high on the ladder we climb. And it's not what we drive. And it's not what we catch. And it's not who we date. How many of you know the world tries to define us as men? But the world has no clue. The world has no clue what it means to be a real man. How many of you ladies want the guy next to you to know what a real man is? See, we have to look in the right direction. The Bible says that we know truth and the truth makes us free. Amen. And the box that the world tries to put around us men and tries to conform us to be something that they have defined as being a man. We have got to unlearn that. And begin to learn what it is that God says about us. Because we will never fulfill our destiny. Listen, we will never be fulfilled in life. Right? If we're passionately pursuing what the world says it means to be a real man. The fulfillment in our life, the fulfillment of our purpose on this planet will only begin to materialize in our lives, men. When we understand and we know who we are in Christ and to whom we belong and what His expectations for my life are. You may have grown up in a home where you were told that if you were a man, this. If you were a man, that. Fill in the blank for yourself. If you're a man, then you're tough. If you're a man, then you don't cry. If you're a man, you do this or you don't do that. But the thing about it is how many of you know it's important that we know what God says about us? We don't allow the world to define us. We don't allow Hollywood to define us. We don't allow the enemy to define us. We have to be men that stand upon the truth of God's word and let God define us. Because only then can we walk in victory. Because only then can we lead our homes. Because only then can we be the husbands and the fathers that God created us to be. When we know who we belong to and who it is that He says that we can be, and we begin to step into that truth, it will transform our life. How many of you men in here would say that you have brought some baggage from the past, and you've been saddled with some baggage and lies from the past of what the world has said about what it is to be a real man? But we want to be the men that God has called us to be. So I have just about 20 minutes this morning, and what I want to do is I want us to quickly look into the Word of God this morning. And I want us to look at what it is that God says it takes to become a man of God. There's a passage of Scripture that caught my heart in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 1. It's a statement, and it goes like this. It says, "This is the blessing that Moses, the man of God, gave to the people of Israel before his death." What an honor that at the end of Moses' life, that God himself said that Moses was a man of God. Of all of the things that were accomplished, he didn't say he was the Red Sea parter. He didn't say that he was the mighty deliverer. He didn't say that he was all of these things. What he said about Moses at the end of his life was he fulfilled his purpose. He accomplished his destiny because he became a man of God. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, Paul writes this. He's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, "Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong." Paul said, act like men. He said, there is a way that real men are supposed to act. There is a way that real men are supposed to live. There is a pattern that real men of God are supposed to follow. He said, it's time for some of you in Corinth, is what he was saying. But how many of you would receive that into your own life, men, today? That we want to be men that know how to act like men of God. And the title of the message today is this. It's becoming God's man. Because all of us will be the first to recognize this morning that we're not there yet. None of us are there yet. But our responsibility as men is to not stay where we are. Our responsibility as men is to not be where we used to be. Our responsibility as men is to be conformed more and more day by day, week by week, year by year into the image of God. So that at the end of our life, how many of you would like for it to be said by our Father in heaven that I was a man of God? So real quickly, I'm going to give you six characteristics or six traits where the Bible defines for us what a man of God is. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All Scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our life." If we're not men of the Word, how many of you know we're not going to know what's wrong in our life? Scripture teaches us what is right. It teaches us how we're supposed to live. It teaches us men how we're supposed to act. And it reveals to us how we're not supposed to act. It straightens us out. I like this language. And it teaches us to do what is right, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How many of you men would say in here today that you would like to be complete in Christ? Thoroughly equipped for what he has put you on this planet to do. Can you say amen? Six ways, real quickly, I want to talk to you about that God tells us to act like men. Now, this is not exclusive to men. All these characteristics are good for women too. But we're speaking specifically towards men this morning. Number one, God's man is a dead man. Everybody say he's a dead man. Well, that's not very encouraging. Well, Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he said, "I have been crucified." Everybody say crucified. Crucified. "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ that lives in me." Becoming a man of God means I learn how to die to me. Now, what this world tells men is make life about you. What you want, it's my time, right? It's my day. It's my car. It's my remote. But the Scripture tells us that if we want to be men of God, then we've got to learn how to put me somewhere besides the couch. We've got to put me on the cross. And the more I learn to put myself on the cross, the more I learn to die to myself, the more I'm going to become a man of God. 1 Corinthians 6 says, verse 19 and 20, that you are not your own, for we have been bought with a price. Therefore, we should glorify God in our body and in our spirit because we belong to God. The more we learn to deny ourselves, the more we learn to give up my rights and my way and my will. Remember Jesus, even when he was on the earth, I love how God is good to us and shows us the whole picture. Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he knew what he was supposed to be about. He knew he was supposed to go to the cross. He knew he was here for that purpose, but he was wrestling with the fact that he was having to come to a place of ultimate death of self, struggling with his flesh. And he said this in the garden. He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And we'll meet moments all in our lives where we're facing things and we're facing moments in our marriage and in our family. And in the workplace where the easy way would not to be to get on the cross and deny ourselves, but to go our own way. But we've got to learn like Jesus to say, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but your will be done. I want to be your man more than I want to be my man. And I'm willing to let myself die so that you can live through me. John the Baptist said it like this. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. If I'm going to be a man of God, I've got to be a dead man. John 12:24. And I used to struggle with that because I know it was my carnal mind and my mentality, and it's got to be renewed. But I would think about, I got to give up. I got to give up everything. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, you know, when a pastor says, oh, you got to die. You got to give up everything you want. But see, the lie of the enemy has us convinced that if we give up what we want, we'll never be happy. But the deception in that is, as long as we pursue what we think we want at the expense of the purpose of God, we will never be happy. It's a mirage. It's a dream that we chase that we never get there. We get the newest phone, the newest car, the newest this, the newest that, the promotion or whatever, and that passes away. But what the scripture says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it will die, how many of you know that it will bring forth much fruit? God's man is a dead man. Number two, God's man is a spiritual man. God's man is a spiritual man. Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We have flesh and spirit. We can be born again. We can be believers and we can be Christians and we cannot be spiritual. We can let our flesh rule us. We can let our flesh tell us that we want to be on the lake instead of being in God's house. We can let our flesh tell us that we can kick the cat and we can scream at the kids and we can do all those things that we want to do. But God said, if you're going to be a man of God, you have to be a person who learns how to crucify the flesh and be a spiritual man. Our role in the home is to set the spiritual tone and the spiritual atmosphere in the family. Our role is to, the scripture says that the fruit of the spirit is this. What a measurement in Galatians 5:22, men, that if we want to be men of God, this is Galatians 5:22 and 23 is like the dipstick. Everybody knows what a dipstick is, right? All you men know what a dipstick is, right? You pull it out to see what the status of the oil is in your engine. If you want to know what the status of the spirit is in your soul and in your heart, you pull out Galatians 5:22 and 23 and you begin to examine the fruit that's in your life. It's not the title that we carry or the position in the church or how big our ministry is, but the scripture says that we're to be spiritual men. The fruit of the spirit is love. Are we exhibiting love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? We are to be men who have that prevalent in our life. We should have it to overflowing so that we can share it with the people around us. If we're going to be men of God, how many of you know God's called us to be spiritual men? Number three, God's man is a repentant man. A godly man is a man who is quick to seek forgiveness for our failures and quick to extend forgiveness and mercy to others when they fail us. It's humility. It's humility before God, and it's humility to those that are around us. It's learning how to break out of the mold of this world that I'm not prideful. I'm not about me. I'm not always right. How many of you men would agree with me this morning that many times in our lives we fail God? We fail our families. We fail people around us. You know, a long time ago, I used to struggle with that and owning my mistakes. But what I've found out through the years is this. The more I own my mistakes and the more I say that I'm sorry, how many of you know the better it is and the freer I can get? Amen. And so if we're going to be men of God, we got to be men that are quick to say, God, I'm sorry. I know that I failed you. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. I love to pray that. Put everybody, all you men, put your hand on your heart right there. We're just going to say that right now with all sincerity. Just say that. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. And when I'm saying that, what I'm saying is I recognize that my heart isn't completely clean. And I need the blood of Jesus to cleanse me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. We got to be people that are quick to say when we're wrong. We got to be quick to go and apologize. We got to be quick to be the one who will be the peacemaker. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God. How many of you know somebody's got to be wrong in every situation? Men, it's our job to step up to the plate and to repent and to recognize our weakness and to humble ourselves, because the Bible says that if we humble ourselves, then God can help us up. Exalt us. That doesn't mean make us king. It means so he can help us up and over what it is that we're facing. If we humble ourselves, then God can exalt us. And here's the other thing, guys. We can't be men who carry grudges. We need a lot of mercy and grace in our life. And as much mercy and grace as we need, we better be ready to give out to other people around us. And if we find ourselves screaming at the kid because they accidentally knocked the cup off the table, how many of you know we wouldn't want God treating us like that? We need to be men who are defined by grace and by mercy, quick to repent and quick to forgive, to be an expressor of the grace and the mercy of God. A godly man is a repentant man. Number four, God's man is a mountain man. What do you mean by that? In Exodus 19, verse 20, the scripture says, the Lord came down on the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses climbed the mountain. Man, if we're going to become the men that God's called us to be, we have to learn how to climb the mountain of prayer. We have to be men of prayer. We have to know how to find the secret place, to turn this off, to tune that out, to push that to the side, and go to the mountain on a daily basis. We have to learn how to do the hard thing. I don't know if it's Pastor Jerry said that the other night or what, but it's, how many of you ever climbed a mountain? A real mountain? Me and Jillian climbed Pinnacle Mountain about a couple of years ago, and I about died. Climbing a mountain is not easy, but it's necessary. Amen. The scripture says this, that Moses climbed the mountain, and the scripture says that God talked to Moses face to face, like a man speaks to his friend. We got to become friends with God so that we can hear his voice. We need to hear the voice of God. We need to hear it for ourselves because we don't know what we're doing. None of us know how to be husbands. We don't know how to be fathers. We don't know how to be employees. But when we hear from the mouth of God and he gives us his wisdom, how many of you know, then we can go forward. Our families need us to be mountain climbers. They need to be able to see in us that we beat them to the top of the mountain every day. They need to see that Psalms 91, that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, they know that their husband, they know that their father, and they know that the man in their life has a place, and it's called the secret place. Talk about a man cave. That's the cave we're supposed to be in. Now, God wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to enjoy these other things. But how many of you know none of these other things matter if we don't have a place with God? We got to be men who can climb the mountain. And when Moses came off of the mountain, because he had been with God and he had seen the glory of God and he had communicated with the creator of the universe, he came down a transformed person. Every time we go up the mountain and we come down again, we're changed. We should become more and more like the image of Jesus Christ. He came down and his face was glowing, and the people around him knew that he had been with God. If the people in our own house, they want us to go up the mountain. They need us to go up the mountain. How many of you men know that God's calling us to a place with him? And when he brings us into that place, listen. When he brings us into that place, he's not there to condemn us, to judge us, to be hard on us. I think as men, many times we don't go to the secret place or we don't climb the mountain because we hear a loud screaming voice, and it's the voice of the enemy that says, you're not worthy. Right. You're not worthy. You ain't done it all right. As men, we want to do it right. We don't want to fail. And when we fail, we carry a heavy burden in our life. And I found out through the years, I finally figured out that heavy burden that I'm carrying on my shoulders is self-condemnation and it's self-guilt. God said this. He said, come boldly up the mountain. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Come boldly into the cave with me. And when you get in there, I'm not going to wear you out. I'm not going to cast you out. He said, I'm going to open my arms and I'm going to bring you in and you're going to find mercy. Any man needs some mercy? Going to find grace to help in your time of need? But God, I messed this thing up. Well, I can fix it up. That's what he'll say. God, I blew it again. And God says, my blood, the blood of my son covers that. My spirit will empower you to overcome that the next time around. We got to be men that know how to go up the mountain, because it's up the mountain that we're transformed. It's up the mountain that we're empowered. It's up the mountain that we are changed. It's up the mountain that we hear from God for our families. Number five, got to go quick. Y'all like fast messages? Let me tell you this, man. Here's the other thing. The way that you change your circumstances, and you know this, the way we change our circumstances. I'm not preaching at you this morning. We're talking about God's word together because I want to become a man of God. The way we change our situation, the book of James says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It makes much power available. We like the bigger motor. We like the faster car. Well, in prayer, there's more power. And the way we change our situation is not to scream at it, not to get frustrated with it, not to give up on it, but to begin to carry it up the mountain to God. And that scripture used to throw me off too. Maybe I'm the only person that struggled with this kind of stuff. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. What the devil always told me was, your prayer isn't going to be very effective because you're not very righteous. And you know what? I agree with that. How many of you agree with that? But Jesus is righteous, completely and totally righteous. And the scripture tells me that I'm in Christ. And because I'm in Christ, man, because you're in Christ, man, because the blood covers your life, when we step up that mountain, we step up that mountain righteous. Amen. And because of that, our prayers have effect. And our prayers will change our circumstances. Number five, God's man is a family man. I got 3 minutes, so here we go. Strap up. God's man is a family man. Family first. Everybody say family first. Second only to God. We were in Kirkland's the other day. Andy and I were shopping. How many women like Kirkland's? Kirkland's Home? I don't. My credit card. Don't like that. I'm just joking. My wife does not buy anything. I say, but get this. I saw a sign. I should have bought it. It said this. It said, to the man, the most important work you'll ever do in your life is in the four walls of your home. The most important work we'll ever do in our life is within the four walls of our home. What would it profit us as men if we gain the whole world and we lose our soul? That which God's entrusted to us. We're kings and we're priests. We have a kingdom and we have a territory that God's made our responsibility. We are stewards of that's within the four walls of our home. And we are to be family men. Above everything else, we're to care about our wives and our children and our home. We're to make a place in our home for God. Let me read you this one scripture. It says in 1 Chronicles 13:14. It says, the ark of God remained, the ark of God. Pastor Lane's been preaching about the presence of God. It's our job, men, to bring the presence of God into our home. It says the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Everybody say all that he had. If you want your family to be blessed, and if you want all that you have in life to be blessed, then you got to make the presence of God the centrality of the house. The way we can love our family, the way we can protect our family, the way we can provide for our family, the way that we can make sure that our family stays together is that we make God first and we make family second, and we make sure that we create an atmosphere in our home for the presence of God. It's not our wives' responsibility. It's not our children's responsibility. Men, it's our responsibility to carve out a place for the presence of God, to make the ark the centerpiece of the home. Because when the presence of God is there, how many of you know that His blessing will be upon that house? And last but not least, God's man is a fighting man. Not like you used to do in high school. Not fighting with your family, but fighting for your family. How many of you know that we have an enemy? We have an enemy. Look, that's not negative talk. That's real talk. We have an enemy. The scripture says that he roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may hang out with or what? No, devour, kill. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if we're going to be men of God, then we've got to be men that stand up in the Spirit and recognize that we have a responsibility to wear the armor of God and to not wrestle with flesh and blood, but to wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in this world of spiritual wickedness in high places. We have to go after the real enemy. People are never our enemy. Everybody say that. People are never my enemy. My boss is not my enemy. My neighbor's not my enemy. My spouse is not my enemy. My child is not my enemy. That situation may be tough, but there is powers of darkness at work behind it. We've got to be men of God by being men that are willing to stand up and fight. In the book of Nehemiah, as I get ready to close, Nehemiah said this. Chapter 4, verse 14, he said, don't be afraid of whatever it is you're facing. Don't be afraid of your circumstance. Don't be afraid. How many know fear works against you? Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. Remember the Lord, for greater is he that is in us men than he that is in the world. Greater is the Spirit of God on the inside of us than anything we're facing. Greater is the Spirit of God on the inside of us than the past that we've come through. Greater is the Spirit of God on the inside of me than the mountain that I'm facing. Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord. And he says, and fight for your brothers. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives. Fight for your homes. If you want to become a man of God, you got to learn how to fight. And this is how we fight. It's not with our hands, but it's on our knees. It's how we fight. How many of you guys agree with me? You've had your hands all in stuff before trying to fix it, and you couldn't fix it. But this is how we fix it. This is how we win. It's not to overpower out there, but it's to come with humility before the Lord here. And we can do more here. You can do more in your car on the way home. You can do more in the break room at work. You can do more on your knees fighting the good fight of faith. If you would, close your eyes. We're going to close the service this morning. And I know it was quick. And again, I want to say I'm not preaching at you. How many of you know we got to break the word open. We got to take the bread. We take the bread and we eat on the bread of God. And it's the bread of God that changes us. God wants us to be those that he could say, that's my man. That's my man. He's a man of God. He's a man of God. He doesn't let the world define him. He doesn't let the enemy define him. But he lets the truth of my word define him. He knows who he is in Christ. He knows who he belongs to. He knows how to stand. He knows how to walk. He knows how to embrace the most important thing in life. And that is the pursuit of the Father and being made into the image of the Father. This morning across this room, if you're a man in this room and you just feel like the Holy Spirit speaking to you in some way, prompting you to say that I want to step up to the plate. I want to be more of what God has called me to be. I know I'm not there yet, but I know that I'm going to pursue it with all of my heart. And today I want to fully commit myself to pursuing my primary purpose on this planet, and that's to be a man of God. Just with everybody else's eyes closed, just quickly stand to your feet. I'm going to pray a prayer over you. And we're going to believe God together. I'm already standing up. Do I need to sit down? Would that be different for me? I'm standing up. We're standing up together. Let's lift up our hands before the Lord. Just say this. Say, God, I surrender to you. I want to be a dead man. I put myself on the cross. God, I need you. I need your presence. I need your voice. I need your power in my life. I want to be your man. In Jesus' name.